It's good to be here tonight. So I'm out tonight. I know Brother Phil is out of town with work, so just ask us to remember him in prayer. Let's remember others who's not here tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we're asking, God, that you would just be with us in this service tonight, Lord, and guide us through your word. I pray for those, Lord, that weren't able to be here tonight, Father. You know where they are and with their needs, Lord. I believe Brother Paul and Sister Susie are out of town, Lord, and Brother Phil, and I pray, God, that you would, Lord, watch over them, bring them back safely, Lord. We give you praise and ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You may be seated. We're not going to read it as a text. We're going to just read through it a little at a time and just speak on a few things as we go through. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech and or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So Paul writing here, you realize of all the disciples, Paul was the only one that was actually educated, very much so educated. And he said that he had to forget the things that he learned to forsake those things, his wisdom and knowledge and learning and schooling. He had to forsake all that for Christ. And Brother Branham says, people make idols of things that God has ordained. In the Bible, remember when the children of Israel were getting bit by serpents and God told Moses to make a brass serpent and put it up, raise it up on a pole, and that all that would look when they got bit, why they would live. And that, well, eventually the prophet had to destroy that brass serpent because the people began to worship it as an idol. And so he eventually had to destroy it. And people will make an idol out of the church. They'll make an idol out of some people make an idol out of a minister. Some people make an idol out of a prophet. Brother Branham says they idolized the man. And he was speaking, this is in being led of the Holy Spirit. He said, I was in California speaking to the Christus businessmen, and I was talking on the subject of Paul, and said that one thing he feared, and that is the people would think more of him and not of the Lord Jesus. And that's why he said he come with much fear and trembling, and he said, I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, he didn't want the people lifting him up. He didn't want to be lifted up in their eyes. He said, that's why I didn't come to you speaking with excellency of words, but I come with you in power and demonstration of the Spirit, that their faith wouldn't be put in Paul or wouldn't be put in fancy words or smooth talk, but that their faith would be put in the Word, that their faith would be put in the Spirit of God. And, you know, there's people today that I believe they've idolized Brother Branham. And, you know, I believe, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I believe that. And I follow Brother Branham as he followed Christ. But I don't worship Brother Branham. And I don't believe Brother Branham was infallible. I believe he was a man. I believe thus saith the Lord was infallible. But I believe Brother Branham was a man. And I believe he had to grow in revelation just like any other human. He could only speak as God would begin to open up and reveal to him. That's no different than you and I. We have to wait for the Lord to reveal to us. And, you know, I can say this, that over the years of ministry, I was just the other day speaking to my mother, and I said, you know, it'll soon be 40 years ago that I started preaching. And, you know, in that amount of time, well, I didn't start off where I am now. There was a lot of things I didn't know. There was a lot of revelation I didn't have, a lot of things that I didn't have the understanding of. And when I came here about 25 years ago, there was a lot of things I didn't understand, and I had to grow in revelation. And there was things that I could go back in time and say that I said at one time, and then my revelation grew beyond that, and I realized that what I said wasn't exactly right on. And so I went back and corrected it. And, Brother Branham, you know, he even with opening the seals, Brother Branham had to wait on the Lord to open that seal. Brother Branham studied, and he wrote down things that, and he looked at things that other ministers and writers had said. But he had to wait for the Lord to actually come and open each one of those seals. He said, now you know what we're waiting on. The Lamb of God is the only one that can open the seal. And so he said, Paul didn't come with ecstasy of words, but he come to them in power of the Holy Spirit, that they would not worship him or believe too much about him or upon him, but would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that their faith might not be in Paul, but that it might be in Jesus. And he said, Paul wanted them to lean not to your own understanding. He said, Paul wanted them to lean upon the word of God. For he said in Galatians 1:8, if an angel from heaven come preaching any other thing, let him be accursed. So even an angel from heaven, if he preached any other thing than the revelation that had been delivered through the Apostle Paul, through his mouth, but by God, then he said, let him be accursed. So, you know, if any angel come from heaven, then that means any man on earth as well. You know, if he's going to speak about an angel from heaven coming, then it definitely covers any man that would come that would preach anything different. Because, you know, the thing about it is, I always look at what a person's doing, what they're trying to do. Are they trying to further the kingdom of God, or are they trying to build their own kingdom? And there's been a lot of men over the years that we found after some time seeing the direction they went, they were actually trying to build their own kingdom instead of building the kingdom of God. They were trying to draw people to themselves rather than pointing people to Jesus Christ. Brother Branham never tried to draw people to himself. He always tried to point people to Jesus Christ. You know, when Brother Branham even went and preached in other towns and places and so on, Brother Branham wouldn't preach a Sunday morning service because he said, you need to go to your home church on Sunday morning. And then he would preach other nights and services and that for the people to come out. He didn't try to tear down their church. He never tried to tear down anyone's church. He never tried to tear down anyone's faith. He did try to tear down men's theology. You know, and the thing is, you know, he said, remember when the angel of the Lord, he went beyond the curtain of time and he said, these are your people. And he said, you know, you'll be brought up and judged. And if you're accepted, then they'll be accepted also. And he said, will Paul have to go through the same thing? And he said, yes. The angel said, yes. Paul will have to face the same thing. He says, well, then praise God, I preach what Paul preached. So, you know, and that's what we're still preaching today. We're still preaching today what Paul preached. And it's, you know, the same spirit and power and demonstration that was in the days of Paul, it's the same today. Thank God for that. You know, we're not leaning on a man. We're not leaning on a man's abilities because, friends, look, men are human. I'm a human. Men make mistakes, but God doesn't. God's never made a mistake. Amen. Now, back to the scripture, in verse 9 it says, but as it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I have not seen, ears have not, you know, ears have not heard. You know, we preach about the things of what it's going to be. We preach about the change of the body. We preach about heaven. We preach about the millennium. We preach about all these things. But friends, even as much as we preach about it, we haven't yet seen it. We only can comprehend as much as God has allowed us to at this point. There's something about somebody getting born again. Really, truly getting born again, it changes something in you. And it makes you a new person. And there's something in there that keeps you. It's the Holy Spirit. And we're thankful to God for receiving the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free. There's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. And the song goes on to say, this consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. Then go home a crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Brother Branham said, now, not just a gold crown to set on your head, but something far beyond that. Paul caught a glimpse of it one time, and he said, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither's entered the hearts of men what God has them in store for them that love him. Not a crown, a golden crown. That wouldn't mean much to me. I don't care about them things anyhow. But my crown is a new body, a new being, crowned in his likeness, a body like his own glorious body, where I can just live with him. That's crown enough for me. Amen. And you know, we many times we preach about the body change, and but to sit down and say that we could scientifically draw that thing out, there's not a one of us here could do that. But we believe that it's going to happen. Amen. Now, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Brother Branham says in Impersonation of Christianity, he says, he was praying, he says, I pray you'll send the baptism of the Holy Spirit now. May it come from glory like a rushing wind and set on each heart. And may that old wolf spirit leave them. And may the gentle, quiet spirit of the lamb come. And the dove of peace will settle upon that lamb as it did on Jordan that day. For they're the only two creatures that can get along together. And we realize that old fighting, brutal spirit of the world. See what that fighting spirit is? It's the spirit of the world. He said the Holy Spirit can never dwell in a place like that. He just takes his flight and goes away. We know that would have been the same thing if the lamb would have ever acted like a wolf, but it had to be a lamb. He said, I pray today your own created being, may the Holy Spirit brood now to those hands that went up and others besides, and will change their nature to a lamb, a new spirit, a new heart. And may the dove come and set upon their heart and guide them and give them everlasting life. This blessing I ask for this little church and this people in the name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. The spirit of the world. We have to deal with our flesh. And our flesh is very carnal. And our flesh, it thinks on things of the world. Our flesh is an enemy to us, actually. Because, you know, as I often say, when you got the Holy Ghost, you received that in your soul. It didn't do a thing to your flesh. It didn't change the desires of the flesh. It changed the desires of the heart. And the heart then controls the flesh. The flesh man still can see, taste, hear, smell, and that. And you know, the spirit of man can still remember the things of the world. If you ever were in the world, or remember, you know, there are some people that say, well, I never was in the world. But I'll tell you this, what were you in? If you weren't in this end time truth, then you were in something wrong. And you had a spirit from that. And sometimes the spirit that comes from that, a religious type spirit, is a proudful spirit. It's a spirit that takes pride in, well, I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I never done that. That's the same spirit that the Pharisee had when he said, I thank God I'm not like this publican here. And we don't want to be that way. And we never want to look down our nose at anybody. Amen. And we'll get to that a little bit further. But we've received the Spirit of God whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He is our Father. And we don't, you know, we contend with the things of this world, but we don't want to have the spirit of this world. Right. You know, I was reading today in the news, and it said that some federal judges in the states of Tennessee and Kentucky had put a block on the bans that have been put in place by the states on youth getting puberty blockers and hormone pills and such. And they said they put a block on that because they said that it was hindering transgender youth from getting health care. And said they stopped just short of saying that it was okay for youth to get sex-altering surgeries. Look, you know, we preached not long ago, about four Thursdays ago, we preached about how corrupt the city of Corinth was. So bad that Romans used to say, for somebody who was living really corrupt, they'd say they're living like a Corinthian. And, you know, then I read that today and I thought, well, my goodness, look where we're living at. Look at the time we're living in. You know, it was one thing when it was adults doing this, but now they're advocating for children to do this. I read once where there was a young lady who, when she was a teen, preteen, why she had done some things to block hormones and puberty and all these things, and then a little bit later on she had a mastectomy and all this, you know, and then, you know, sometime later, and her parents let her, you know, they advocated all this, then sometime later she realized, I wanted to be a girl. And then she was condemning her parents for letting her to make decisions like that when she was a minor. And she said, I wasn't mentally capable to make life-altering, life-changing decisions like that. But they, you know, today it's moved into where, you know, these parents are saying, well, you can't deprive our children. We're not depriving children. You know what we're looking at? We're depriving demented parents from ruining their children. Look at the day we're living in. How wicked and evil it is. Friends, we've got to be at the end time. It seems to me like that this nation has got more wicked than even Sodom and Gomorrah was. And it ain't stopping. You know, they've got their community, you know, of all these lesbians and trans and queers and all these different things. I don't know the initials for all that. I always get them confused and mixed up, LBGTK or something, I don't know. But anyway, you know, they want something for their community. You know, friends, look, you know what they're doing? They're actually taking away from the things that this nation was founded on. Things they're doing is actually against the Constitution. We've got soon, we're going to, this week, you know, the America's going to be celebrating Independence Day, the 4th of July, when they signed the Declaration of Independence. You know, and this nation was founded on In God We Trust, but they've got away from that. They've got away from that. There are people today that they would think that was like filthy words in somebody's mouth to say In God We Trust. They, you know, these woke people, you know what, friends? They're against you. They're against the Christian people. They think the Christians are trying to withhold their rights. Well, they can do whatever they want to. But I'm not going to be part of it. But I look at these things and I see just how far down the road we are. How close in the end time we are. And I think every day about Brother Branham saying, before the end time, this world will go totally insane. And I remember the very first time I ever read that, I didn't quite understand perhaps maybe what Brother Branham meant. You know, when I first thought about people going insane, I thought about people just, you know, losing their minds, you know, loony bin and all this kind of stuff. That ain't what he was talking about. He's talking about the way it is today. People have went totally insane. They've went crazy. They've lost their minds. Surgeries on children and all these different things. That's crazy. Look where we're at. But we're trusting in God to keep us. And I believe that God can keep us through these times. And I believe God can deliver us on the other side of this. I read something today in the message of the Comforter. Brother Adam said, "Now if God who raised me from the dead, me a sinner, dead in sins and trespasses, he quickened my soul. He did something to me. He did something to you. He took that spirit of the world away from me. He took that desire of the world. He lifted me up above those shadows. He gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If God can do that, death can't separate me from him. That's my comfort. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." That's right. If God can take me when I'm down in mire and sin and raise me up and make me a Christian, if God can take me when I was perplexed and distressed and was in the condition I was in a miserable wretch, and raise me up and give me the hope of eternal life and baptize me with the Holy Ghost and fill me with his power and glory, then he's able to take me through the valley of the shadow of death and receive me into glory on the other side because he promised it. That's our comfort. God's able. And I'll tell you something, friends. I know that Satan is running around as busy as he can be now. And he tries to run wild on your minds. And he tries to affect our minds to make us think, you know, that sometimes you're not going to make it. You're not going to be good enough. But the thing about it is, we're not relying on ourselves, as we so often say. Jesus said, "I'll present to myself a glorious church." Amen. We're relying on Jesus Christ. And if he was able to change our lives and bring us to what we are now, friends, he's able to take us all the way to the end. He's able to take us in the rapture. He's able to take us through a body change. God is able. Not only is he able, he's going to. He promised it. That's our comfort. We can rely on his word. Amen. Verse 15. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." You know, I know that there's a whole thing about today about, you know, they say, you know, they don't nobody judge me, you know. And I know the Bible says, Jesus himself says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And he says, "For with judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with that measure you meet, you shall be measured to you again." But when you go on, continue to read that, then you go more into what Jesus was actually speaking of. And he said, "Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, and consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote from thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye?" And he says, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, then you can see clearly to cast out the mote from your brother's eye. You know, we're not to judge our brothers and sisters. You know, people make mistakes. And sometimes, you know, sometimes their mistakes are right out in the open. Don't judge them. Jesus also says this, Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. So the same mercy that was given to us, that's the same mercy we ought to have for other people. When we got saved, we didn't start off where we are now. We had to grow. I've often said and gave the example of some years and years ago, there was a new family that came to a church my dad was pastor, and they come to the Lord, and came to the message. And, she was the sister. She was wearing earrings, and she was wearing her skirts were, a little above her knees. And some older sister in the church come ask my dad, said, "Do you want me to have a talk with her?" And my dad, being the pastor, he said, "No, you leave her alone." He said, "The Lord will reveal these things." So, don't go looking down your nose. Sometimes people come, they don't know how to do. Especially if they've never been raised that way or taught that way. Some of us have been raised in Christian churches and raised in, around the message, and we've been taught, and we know, even though we still needed an experience with God and needed to be born again, we still had some knowledge. But, this dear sister, she didn't even have that knowledge. But you know what? In time, the Lord opened up the word and revealed it to her and her husband. And you know what happened? The earrings came off and the skirts came down. You don't have to go around straightening people out. God never called you to do that. It's not your job. I almost jumped on Sunday's message because I studied out for this evening, and then when I got done, I had time, and so I was still sitting by the computer, so I started looking at Sunday's message. And so I almost jumped on that. But, Jesus says, "Condemn not that ye shall not, and ye shall not be condemned." Don't condemn other people. The Bible also says, "Forgive and ye shall be forgiven." Now, that's a hard one sometimes for us. Sometimes it's hard for the humans to forgive. Because you know what? Brother Bram says it this way. He said, "You might be able to forgive me, but you'll always remember what I done." So we can forgive, but we can't forget. And I can tell you this, there's that accuser of the brethren that's always coming around trying to remind you of what somebody did to you. But you know what? Many times people, they take things we say and they twist them and turn them to try to suit their own selves. And I've talked to a man one time, and he was talking about similar things, and I said, "The Bible says you reap what you sow." He said, "But I don't want to." I said, "Well, you can't help that. It's the word." And the Bible says, "Try the spirits." So we went through where it says, "Judge not that you be not judged," but it also says, "Try the spirits. See whether they're of God or not." And it says, how you can know whether they're of God or not is if they say that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then that's the Spirit of God. But if they say Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh, then that's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. And you know, but people don't go around saying that they don't believe, perhaps, maybe, you know, come into your church and say, well, I don't believe that Jesus Christ, you know, that God came down in the flesh of Jesus Christ and all this, or I don't believe in Jesus Christ. No, what it is, they don't believe he's in your flesh. They want to say all manner of evil against you. They want to speak all manner of evil against you. Say evil things about you. Tell lies. You know what that's showing? That's showing what spirit they're of. They're not of the spirit. The spirit that's on them is not the spirit of God. See, discern the spirit. Try the spirit. Brother Branham actually says this in discernment of spirit. He said, you're not discerning the man, you're discerning the spirit, the life that's in the man. And that's what God told us to do. He said, we are constrained and commanded by God to discern the spirit in the man, what he's trying to do, what the spirit in his life's trying to lead him to do. If we find out he's trying to lead the people, not break them up. So you find somebody that seems like they're trying to, and we preached on this even last Thursday, trying to bring division or break people up. Friends, that's not the spirit of God. Discern that spirit. Discern what it's come to do. Look, friends, Satan loves to transplant his people amongst you. And try to cozy up to you and try to act like, you know, well, I want to live right. I want to do right. I want to get right. Well, you know what? You got to bring forth fruit meat for repentance. In other words, bring forth a life that shows you have repented. But I've seen people do that and they ain't even repented. How in the world could they bring forth fruit or a life when they ain't even repented? You can't go around saying the evil things about somebody and then think you'll just come and sit down and say, well, I just want to be all right, and never think you have to say anything to that person you said evil things about. Never think you have to make that right. That's not the right spirit. Sure, we want to get happy when we see people want to come back to the Lord. But let's discern the spirit. See what their motive is, what their objective is. Is it that they really want to get right? If they do, friends, there'll be something coming from their life that'll show that. By their fruits, you'll know them. That's what Jesus said. By their fruits, you'll know them. If somebody's trying to bring people together, then friends, then you can discern that spirit. If they're not trying to cause a division or an uproar, or they're not trying to, you know, look, Satan loved to bring somebody in and try to get them just talking and whispering around to try to break confidence. You know, I don't want people worshiping me, but I've got to have your confidence. You've got to be confident that I'm yielding to God so that God can come and speak to you. If you lose that confidence, then I couldn't help you. God couldn't help you through me. And that's the, you know, Satan likes to bring a critic and set him down and get him to whisper a little here and whisper a little there. Why? To try to tear down the confidence. They're a fly by night. I've been here 25 years. I've seen people up and down and in and out, and constantly it seems like they just cycle all the time. They're in church, they want to get right, next thing you know, they're back out
you know, doing drugs and getting drunk and having DUIs and everything else. Why? Because they're in a cycle. Discern those spirits. And as we read last Thursday, Paul said, avoid them. You know, look, Brother Branham said this. See if your fellowship is being beneficial. We should, you know, your fellowship should be edifying. Who you fellowship with, it should be edifying. If it's not edifying, if it's not lifting up, then, friends, it's the wrong spirit. It's the spirit of the world, which the spirit of the world is the spirit of Antichrist. We don't want that. I want to make it. I remember one time, years ago, I was an associate pastor in Ohio. And our pastor, my dad, Brother Browning, it was in 1993, and he had a stroke. And he couldn't speak well. And he was going through physical therapy to try to get the use of his right hand and right side of his body again. And during those times, I was taking care of the services. And I felt led to just do that instead of just having different ministers in left and right, because I felt led of the Lord that the people would realize that the people wouldn't get a fear. And the devil worked through wondering what's going to happen now, you know. And so there was a young minister that come and visited, and I was the one that invited him. I had heard him preach at a youth meeting at another place, and I really liked what I heard, so I invited him to come, you know, and he stayed with us, and he preached a couple of times, and he talked with me, you know, and he had met my dad, and he said, you know, he was trying to tell me he had some kind of real spiritual discernment. And he said, the anointing is leaving your pastor, and it's resting on you. And he said, God is finished with him. Now it's your time. Well, if that wasn't a bunch of baloney. You know what that was? That was the wrong spirit in that man. Trying to drive a wedge in there. It was Satan trying to entice me. I wasn't enticed, not even a little bit. Friends, I never wanted to be a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor of any church. But when the Lord revealed to me that that's what my call was, I couldn't run from it. I had to do what he told me to do. I had learned one thing: do what God tells you to do, because if you don't, you're going to pay for it. Be in the will of God. Don't get outside of the will of God. Be in the perfect will of God. Not in his permissive will. Brother Branham talked about, Balaam. Balaam got in the permissive will of God. Remember, Balaam went and prayed and said, "Can I curse Jacob?" And the Lord told him no. And so, Balak offered him more money. And he said, "Well, I'll go back and ask again." And so he goes back and asks again. And, two or three times asking, finally, the Lord just lets him go. And Brother Branham said he was in the permissive will of God going down there to try to curse Israel. And then remember that that old mule that he was riding on, all of a sudden it bulked up, wouldn't go anymore. And Balaam got upset, and he got off and beat the mule. And the mule started talking to him and said, "What have I done to you? I've served you all these years, and now you're beating me." He said, "Look up the road yonder. There's an angel standing there. The sword's going to slay you." Balaam, so consumed with himself, stood there and talked to the mule. He was in the permissive will of God. If you won't take the perfect will of God, God will let you go in the permissive will, but it might kill you. That's what Brother Branham said anyway. It'll definitely get you into trouble. Oh my, sometimes the things we, directions we take and things we get on. But you know, the Bible tells us how to try the spirits, that we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You know, how do you judge what I preach? Judge it by the Bible. Am I preaching the word of God? Then that's where we need to stand. Am I preaching my opinions, my philosophy? There was a man one time, you know, got up and he started preaching about women's skirts and said they're not to wear a garment pertaining to a man. He said, if a skirt, it buttons in the front and has a zipper in the front, it's a garment pertaining to a man. Well, I ain't never worn one of them. And he preached that kind of stuff. And he preached it in the church where, you know, said, well, don't wear no skirts like that. Well, there went 99% of the jean skirts. Where did that come from? That was his own theology. And you know how it proved out? He turned around and walked off and left the message. He was preaching more Dr. Dobson than he was Brother Branham. I don't preach my own opinions. I don't believe a man should. We've all got opinions, and they ain't worth nothing. Preach the word of God. See what a man, Brother Branham said, try to see what the man's trying to do. If the man's trying to do a work from God, then you can see that's the spirit of God that's in the man. And Brother Branham said this, he said, if he's trying to do a work for God, he said, it don't matter what denomination he's of. He's your brother. But said, if he's trying to build a kingdom for himself, then he's not my brother. Realizing Brother Branham what he had to deal with when he was here. All these different denominations, this one saying this one was right and that one was wrong, and this one was right and that one was wrong. One time my dad came out to Kansas where I was living. He went and visited a church out there. It wasn't a message church, it was a church that the pastor had heard about Brother Branham, been in Brother Branham's meetings. And he said, this pastor told my dad, he said, I was sitting in a meeting. Once he says, Brother Branham said, over here we got the oneness people, Jesus only. He said, and over here we got the Trinitarians. He says, you're both wrong. Well, but he wasn't trying to tear him down. He was trying to bring them together. Tried to point him to the word, the truth. And that's what we're trying to do here, point you to the truth. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father,
We thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. Lord, as we study through the books of Corinthians, Lord, look at these different things, Lord, just a little teaching is all I felt led, Lord, to do for these services, Lord, just to bring a little teaching, Lord, not hold the people long or preach a long message, but just bring a little teaching, and that would open up our understanding. I pray your blessings on the people tonight, Lord. Many of them have jobs they've got to go to tomorrow morning, Lord. I pray you'll be with them, God. Give them rest in their bodies tonight. Help them to be awake on the job tomorrow. Keep them safe, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, you'll bring us back here at the appointed time. We'd ever give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.